Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, also a junior editor at that website, known as Mr. I'm going to start this again.
No, don't start it again. They got most of the information. Carry on.
All of those things are true of this podcast, which we're on. With me is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Hooray! I like the dead-eyed look that you have when you start doing that now. I never really looked, you know?
Yeah.
Just look, and it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just kind of black out. But I think I'm going to be more present during that, clearly, because I'm losing it, man. I'm losing it. A few people have asked, have you been watching the World Cup, FIFA Cup?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah. But people get super fired up about
it. My Facebook feed is a lot of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We won or didn't win? No, we didn't win.
We didn't win. We were beaten by Chile. I know that much.
Oh, well.
Because people tweeted at us specifically to say that we didn't win. Guess what, guys? We're not on the team. We didn't make the cut this year. Sorry.
Next time.
Next time, I think so, yeah.
4 years on, we'll only be stronger, so
absolutely,
we'll
yeah.
be ready.
Not weaker.
We're not getting older and weaker.
No.
All right. Now, Mason, the...
The other day, I pulled a muscle in my neck, rolling over in bed, so I think, you know, big ages.
I like to think tumble roll, like were you doing like a big tumble roll?
Yeah, I was doing a tumble roll.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, bad news for Star Wars, Mason.
Oh, here we go.
Good news for us, though.
Yes.
Harrison Ford.
Our Grumpy Gramps.
Our Grumpy Gramps, Harrison Ford. You tweeted me this specifically.
Yes.
I can read the official statement if
Please,
you like.
I'd like to hear it.
The Han Solo actor fell to the ground in agony. This is during shooting or around that time, I assume.
Of Star Wars 7.
Of Star Wars 7. And medics assessed him on the M stage at the studio close to the spaceship in the Millennium Falcon. He was taken by stretcher onto a helicopter for further treatment. The official Disney statement is, Ford sustained an ankle injury during filming on the set, blah, blah, blah. He was taken to local hospital and is receiving care. Shooting will continue as planned while he recuperates.
Mm. So this is Pinewood Studios in England.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of different reports came out. People were like, oh, he crushed his ankle and blah, blah, blah. Like a door fell on it or something.
What? Like, I didn't
heard
that one.
Like I heard like a roller door like landed on it.
Okay.
So my feeling is he gets this injury happens. He gets onto he's put on the stretcher, he's put in the helicopter, it's flying away. He can have only one of two thoughts, right? One of them is, I knew it! Or, I did it. Right? Because either, he's like, oh, I don't want to do another Star Wars, And then, like, Disney, like, one of their accounts shows up and he's just like, here's a check, I'm just going to write a one, and then I'm just going to keep writing zeros after the one until you agree to be in this film.
Or fall asleep.
Or fall asleep, right? And then he's agreed, and he's like, I don't want to do this. And then he's like, oh, but the fans love it, and I'm going to, you know, whatever, and it's the legacy, and people would really enjoy seeing me in it. And then he gets on set, and he breaks his ankle, and he's like, oh, I knew it. I had a bad feeling about this. That's the thing he might say. And then, or he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the giant check. I'm going to show up. I'm going to take a dive. Because
FIFA style.
FIFA style. Soccer style.
Soccer style, yeah.
He seems like a, you know, he's probably a decent enough guy.
Sure, yeah.
But maybe the cynical part of my brain takes over immediately. And I'm like, that's what you do. Like, if you hated this franchise, you're forced to be in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You take the money, you agree to be in it. People are like, oh, he's going to be in it, he's a hero again. You take the dive. You're like, well, I would be in it, but I can't.
Exactly. So... And he wouldn't have to do many of the stunts now.
Right.
Well, this is what happened on Temple of Doom. Mm. He threw his back out, and most of it's not him, except for up close. It's like another guy.
Nice.
He's a genius.
He is a genius.
He's the least hardworking man in Hollywood.
And now, these days, he doesn't even have... Like, they just have to CGI his face onto somebody else's body.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee, yeah. That's right.
Everything Christopher Lee's done since the 80s, oh, before CGI.
I thought you meant he was going to CGI Harrison Ford's face on Christopher Lee's body.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see, though, now that we've been talking about this, I think it'd be great to see, like, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker doing some modern day, like, lightsaber duel flippy stuff like that. That'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too much. I think they took it a bit too far. Right. With, like, episode
there were flips
three.
For flip's sake.
There were.
For flip's sake.
So, yeah. No, me too. Yeah. I love, like, that kind of, like, amped up kind of, Star Wars.
The
style.
Kind of the lightsaber fight where every move would equal death.
Yeah.
Unless, you know.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great.
Or rolled ankles.
Definitely some rolled ankles.
Noah Oldberding, you're familiar with him. He's written in before.
Yes, indeed.
He sent us a link to Harrison Ford's ankle in its prime. Uh-huh. And it's just like a whole lot of photos of him through his career and on the red carpet with his ankle, you know, in its prime.
Oh, that's from clickhole.com, which is
oh,
the
that's
new,
the one. Yeah, yeah.
It's the new, it's a BuzzFeed parody. And it's just like, here's 10 interesting photos of chairs, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't believe how much this stock footage of, you won't believe how cheaply we got this stock footage of this woman sitting in a swing. You know, it's that kind of, the ultimate.
The best one I think is when he's got his foot up on the table in the Tatooine bar.
Yep.
And he's got his sweet ankle on
yeah,
display,
yeah, nice.
You know. So, yeah.
So good.
There we go, Mason.
Bit of news.
Harrison Ford.
There's
dead.
Also been circulating on Twitter. It's a photo of Harrison Ford. He's sitting in his Harrison Ford chair,
yeah.
And he's holding a piece of paper and it says, "I shot first." Is that an old photo or is that a new photo?
Possibly. I don't know.
He's got a goatee, so maybe that's...
Yeah. Does he have an earring?
That's a clue. You know, I don't know.
He's never been allowed to wear that goatee in a movie, has he?
I must have done.
I feel like...
As some sort of Russian, maybe?
I think it's a private time goatee.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think it's a... He had a beard in The Fugitive.
Yep.
And that episode of Young Indiana Jones that he was in.
Sure.
You remember the one where he played the saxophone and the snow fell on the...
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Look it up.
I remember.
But, yeah, I don't think he's really been bearded before.
Hmm. Well, maybe yeah. Now's his time to shine.
Now is his time to shine.
Or
all
bristle.
Right.
And...
Say again?
Or bristle.
Or bristle, yeah. Sure.
More news? Is there more news?
You know there's more news, Mason.
Yes.
What did you say before the show? What should we call this? Barely the news.
Roughly the news.
Roughly the news. That's
roughly
good.
The news, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it's right, maybe it's all wrong. Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't It Cool News has reported that The Amazing Spider-Man 3 has been pushed from June 10, 2016 to 2017.
Ooh.
So there's supposed to be a Spider-Man movie every year.
Uh-huh.
If this is true, it is a rumor, then uh-huh. that stops that, I guess. Now, you know, Spider-Man...
It stops that arbitrary rule that they have developed themselves.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2 just crossed 700 million worldwide,
uh-huh.
which is still pretty good, but lower than the other ones,
right.
apparently. So, they still make money
uh-huh.
and stuff, but I think maybe they thought also, I saw this in one of the comic book movie comments, maybe they realized that they have to shoehorn 6 villains into the next movie. And they need a little bit more time to work out
yeah, exactly.
how to
yeah,
do
yeah,
that
yeah.
properly.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Spider-Man movies have never been, you know, known to do that well.
Right,
even
right.
with 3, so, you know, remains to be seen. You happy with that or whatever?
Whatever, exactly. Whatever. We run a fine line, I think, because if we say... Because a lot of these news items are genuinely, well, whatever.
Yeah.
If we say, well, whatever enough, we're out of a job.
Well, that's
and by
true.
Job, I mean podcast.
You're right.
That we do for free. I mean, you know, some of this has import, but some of it just...
You're right, yeah, yeah.
We'll
yeah.
get that, to we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
We
we'll review
more...
Spider-Man 3 whenever when it comes out.
Yeah, whatever
in
year.
The future, yeah.
You're saying we need more hard-hitting kind of, like, controversial, like, decision-making?
Yeah.
Be right. like, damn it, bring back Maguire or whatever. Bring him back.
Who's
that's,
Maguire?
That's Tobey Maguire.
Oh, right.
You already forgot.
Yeah. I thought it was some sort of medical drama.
Yeah, it is.
It's a TV show, Maguire.
Yeah, that's my official stance.
Bring back Mark Maguire. Disgraced baseball player. Maybe not disgraced, I don't know, I can't remember.
Baseball player?
Yeah.
Is he definitely a baseball player?
No.
Okay.
I'll look him up. Anyway, yeah, okay, Spider-Man news.
Great.
Yawn.
Kingpin has been cast, Mason, in the
Kingpin.
Daredevil
okay,
TV
yeah,
series.
Okay, yeah, cool. All right.
Ready for this?
Yes.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Wait.
Yes.
Hang on. Oh, Criminal Intent.
Criminal Intent.
Okay,
Men
that.
In Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
I mean,
yeah.
he's not like... Kingpin is comically large because he is a comic book character.
Right,
I got
right.
my hands right up. You can
he's
say.
Right up, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't really...
Like you with the Y in YMCA.
Exactly. But you can't do that, though, can you? Obviously. And I think Kingpin is supposed to be also very menacing, and it's hard to get somebody, we've said this before, who is legitimately giant and can act.
Yeah, and I think the Kingpin, like in the comic books, is very is threatening because he's so huge.
Mm.
But a guy who's that huge in real life sort of looks like one of those... things that you push over and they spring back up again straight away. You know
a fridge?
Yeah, fridge. a real threatening fridge on springs.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's just a wall, isn't he, really? Mm. And he's big enough, so...
Yeah, D'Onofrio works.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that intensity.
He does. Mm. I think he'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's played a villain before. Mm. And he played that crazy guy in that movie about Vietnam War. Hot Shots 2.
Yep, that's fine.
All right. Now, Mason.
Yes?
Rumored lineup for DC films has mm-hmm. been released.
Okay.
I doubt...
How far into the future does this go?
We don't know. It starts in... Oh, what do you mean by that?
Like how? Does it go to like 2020?
2016 or 2018. Okay. But there's a lot of movies jammed in here.
All right.
Which makes me think it's probably not true.
No, because how many movies did DC release a year? Like one?
One every 3 years.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So, no, really, it is one every three. Oh, no.
Well, Green Lantern.
Green Lantern was 2011. Man of Steel was 2013. The next one's 2016.
Okay, right.
So, yeah.
Really packing them in. Here we go.
Catwoman, 2007, possibly. Maybe six or four. Four? Yeah. Doesn't matter.
No.
Is the rumored lineup. Shazam, July 2016.
Okay, I'm on board.
Sandman, Christmas 2016. Thanks. Justice League.
Sure.
May 2017. Wonder Woman, July 2017. Flash Green Lantern team up, Xmas 2017. And then Man of Steel 2 in May 2018.
Wow, they're packing them in.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
What do you think about that?
I don't think they can do that.
Even the order of this doesn't seem to make sense. For example, why would you go Justice League 2017, then Wonder Woman July 2017? Mm. Like a few months later. If anything, you'd go Wonder Woman, if this was true.
Right.
If anything, you'd go Wonder Woman first, then Justice League, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because who, most people would go, well, I saw Wonder Woman in another one. I'm not going to see one like 2 months later.
Yeah, but maybe the script for Justice League is really, really good and she's a really strong character in it. And yeah, I would have a certain amount of faith that maybe she's a really strong character in it, and you read that script and you go, oh, I want to know more about this character.
Oh yeah,
so let's point. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they've made a wise if this is true, they've made a wise choice in maybe Flash Green Lantern team up
because
maybe they can't Green Lantern, certainly nobody will trust him to carry
Not
a film
now.
Anymore. Yeah.
No. I think that's a great idea. I love the idea of team ups, and I think Marvel should do it as well. Why not do a Captain America Iron Man movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a Wolverine Sandman, Spider-Man villain movie. Yeah,
absolutely. How about Iron Man? Because everybody loves Iron Man, Hulk.
Yeah.
Team them up, science buddies.
Sure.
Science friends.
Science friends. Absolutely. So would you say, if you had to choose, would you say this is true? Partially true or not true at all? Or True Detective?
Yeah, I like True Detective. That was a good series.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to season 2.
Me too.
Look, if it's possible that they've seen Marvel pump out, you know, a couple of movies a year, and they're like, well, we've got to beat that.
Yeah.
So maybe they can ramp it up, but I don't know. If it's all through, I don't know, do they have the resources to do that? Who knows?
Well, also, somebody made the point that a lot of things that DC are putting out, Warner Brothers are putting out, aren't hitting as well as they'd like.
Uh-huh.
What was that? It was Jack the Giant Slayer, Warner Brothers, I think it was. Who cares?
Who cares?
Let's just assume that it was. But like, Pacific Rim, you know, did okay, but not incredibly well. Godzilla did well, but apparently it had like a massive second week drop off in the US.
Okay.
Like bigger than a lot. And apparently it's like the biggest movie, the biggest opening to not reach 200 million. So it hasn't reached 200 million yet. Like it had like a $73 million first week. And
it's assumed that I will get to 200 million really quickly,
but
it hasn't.
It did not. Huh. So yeah. Or not yet, as of yet. So yeah.
All right.
I think it could be partially true. But
do you think it might be one of those cases where the Flash TV series is better than the Flash Green Lantern movie?
It could be. I mean, why it'd be stupid of them not to work those things together.
Right, right.
But I guess because the guy's not a big film star, they wouldn't do it. But speaking of big film stars, Mason.
Oh, I love talking about big film stars. Celebrities are better than us.
Well, this guy's actually a TV star. Soon to be film star. Well, he's done a few films. Jason Momoa, they say, is definitely Aquaman. He's kind of alluded to playing a big role in a DC movie of late and whatever, but Jason Momoa, you've seen him in Game of Thrones. Probably not, because you haven't seen it.
No, I saw him. I've seen the first three episodes of season one, and he was in all of them.
He sure was. They said that he is Aquaman.
Loves hitting it from the back.
He does.
Inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
Just for this podcast.
Yeah.
Whatever, do whatever you want in your private life. It's fine.
So, yeah, would you be okay with that? Blonde Jason Momoa?
Yeah, totally.
They'd blonde him up, wouldn't they?
They'd blonde him up.
They'd blonde him up, blonde him down?
Yep.
I mean down. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Fish scale pants. Be great.
Yes,
okay, I'm on board. Yeah, love it.
Cool. All right. Well, that's happy days for everybody, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm. I guess we're on to the main topic of this week, Mason, which is me drinking this water first.
Fantastic.
Bloody hot in here. I shouldn't have put the heater on before.
Mm.
Did you see the Fault in Our Stars?
No.
Me neither.
Great.
Did you see How to Train Your Dragon get to it? Dragon?
No. No.
Me neither.
Great.
Did you see Kill Bill when it came out?
Yes, I did. Yeah, enjoyed that.
Which is better?
You mean one or two, or Kill Bill versus those movies I haven't seen?
Kill Bill versus one or two.
I preferred one.
I preferred two.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Yes, it is.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, Doctor Strange, Mason. Uh-huh.
I thought you would have had some sort of Doctor Strange news, and then we could segue in. No,
not this week.
Wow.
I thought there would be.
Yeah.
So we'll do Doctor Strange. Next week, Mason, guess
crunch
what
we're doing? Crunch those gears. It's fine.
Next week, guess what we're doing?
I'm ready to hear about this.
We're going to do Transformers movies next week in preparation for...
So I have to watch three all the way through again?
No, you don't have to watch any of them, because I'm certainly not going to.
Fantastic.
I've seen them.
Yep.
We'll talk about them,
uh-huh.
Including the 80s one.
Yeah.
And then...
You got the touch. You got the power. Anyway.
Who is that did that?
Stan Bush.
They wanted Journey, didn't they?
I think music at that point had evolved where most bands sounded like Journey for that period in the 80s.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Great time.
Fantastic.
Great time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. All right, crunching gears into Doctor Strange, Mason. This is the first. We're going to go through the history of Doctor Strange, in particular, like powers, villains, abilities, whatevs, you know?
Sure. Yeah, whatevs.
Facial hair, all that.
Sure.
I thought maybe we can start off by saying he is the first Marvel cinematic character who's purely magic-based.
Right.
That we've seen. Not that the Asgardians are magic-based, but as we've said, they're a mixture of magic and science. And also Thor... His powers don't all stem from the hammer, because he's, like, pretty tough regardless.
Yeah, he's a tough alien guy.
Yeah. That's it.
Although, we don't really know what the rules of magic in the Marvel Universe are, like, as a whole.
No.
Like, because we know, especially from Thor the Dark World, the Asgardians' magic, they say they have magic, but it's just technology that is sort of, it's so advanced that we can't perceive it as any different from magic.
Yeah.
Right, but presumably at some point in their past they had the technology, it moved forward, it sort of entered into their world of physics.
Yeah.
And so now they can use it without thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it might be the case that is how magic works in the Marvel Universe sort of overall. Like it might be, like Strange's powers might be this similar thing.
Like you crack open the Org of Agamotto and it's just filled with wires.
Yeah, exactly. It's filled with capacitors.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think for this movie, they're going to go entirely magical. I don't think they're going to say there's a mixture of science and magic in this. I think he's going to be just magic.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Because
the way the Guardians of the Galaxy takes this into space,
this
whole thing,
uh-huh.
this whole, I was going to say convoluted. It's not convoluted. They've done it kind of well the way they've slowly introduced all these elements.
Mm-hmm.
And then this will introduce magic and different dimensions and weird space creatures.
Right.
Or dimensional beings and whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think anyway.
I think maybe it'll be a case of there are these, you know, upper planar beings, these magical types
mm.
who have sort of left kind of loopholes, like loopholes in the world, in the realm of physics. Like, I think that's kind of how Thor's magic works.
Okay.
And maybe, like, he finds ways to tap into those, you know, those loopholes in the laws of physics, maybe. I don't know.
Can he shoot stuff?
Yeah, he can shoot stuff.
Okay, good.
Then as long as he can shoot. Yeah, he can shoot rays, zaps rays out of his hands, right?
You're familiar with the Doctor Strange origin? Strange Correct. Origin, obviously. Yeah. Were you a fan of Doctor Strange at all?
Intermittently, yeah. Sure. When we get to What You Read, and I've got a couple of classics.
All right.
Our famous segment, What You Read and What You're Gonna Read.
Very famous.
Yeah. Yeah, intermittently. During the 90s, there was a revival of the Defenders, which was his sort of superhero team, not team, and I was a fan of that.
Are you talking about the Defenders of the Earth, the TV show with Mandrake the Magician?
No, we've had this discussion multiple times. So many times.
Just a quick question on Mandrake the Magician. Yes. He's not actually magic, is he? Like, he's like illusions
it's
and tricks.
It's
and...
hypnosis, okay, I think, mostly, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What a
dickhead. But it didn't stop him, like, you know, using hypnosis to fix a car tire or whatever. What does that mean? Doesn't make any sense. But I think the Defenders of the Earth Mandrake may have actually been magic.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're just like the same way that the Phantom in that had the strength of 10 tigers.
Yeah.
Which makes fuck all sense.
Correct.
Because he doesn't really have that.
I think maybe Mandrake could, you know, blast a you know, soldier or whatever with his magic wand or whatever. I think what it was, he would just cast an illusion that's what he was doing, and then he'd shoot him with a gun.
I love that.
Yeah, get away with murder. It's magic. Your human laws don't apply to me.
So basically, Mason, his origin.
Yes.
Do you want me to go through his origin? I know you know it.
Let's do it line by line.
Line by line.
Okay, you do a line.
My God, I'm a good surgeon. Give me some cash.
I'm a real prick.
Is that him also?
Yeah, that's him as well.
Oh, yeah, people can't tell us apart. So it doesn't matter,
does it? Yeah.
Okay, so...
But... I sure hope I don't drink and drive tonight. Oh, who cares? No, that's his... He's a surgeon. He's a neurosurgeon.
He's the best neurosurgeon. He, like, burnt through medical school in a big way.
Uh-huh.
Made waves in the industry. People loved him. They're like, this guy's like a prodigy. He's basically...
Doogie Howser.
He's Doogie Howser. I was going to say he's a cross between, Doogie Howser and Tony Stark.
Okay,
really.
Sure. That works.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So from that, it kind of, his skills made him arrogant,
mm-hmm.
which was often the case with people with lots of skills. I'm trying to think of someone with lots of skills. Corey Feldman, great actor.
Sure.
Too arrogant.
John McEnroe, tennis player. Very skilled. Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Mark Maguire, baseball player. Drug scandal in 2010. I was right.
Mark Hoppus, Blink-182.
182.
I was trying to pull the name of the guy, the lead singer of Sugar Ray, but I couldn't get it. So
Mark McGrath.
Ah! There it is. All right.
Arrogant.
So, yeah, when he was young, his sister died, was drowned.
Mark McGrath. No wonder he's in Sugar Ray. Sad.
Yeah, his life very much parallels that of Dr. Strange. Right. It's quite odd. But, yeah, his sister died. His mother died. So this kind of, all this work worked towards him, like closing off his heart kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what I mean? And after his father died, he couldn't attend the funeral because it would break him up too much, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was too totes and mosh for him.
Yeah, totes and mosh.
And his brother came to his house to confront him. He's like, you should have come to our father's funeral or whatever. After an argument, his brother ran into the street and was killed by a car.
Oh.
Right.
I think a lot of this has been added.
It is. Back. Absolutely.
Oh, I remember the origin of the origin story because I read a reprint of Tales of Suspense back in the day and it's just like, I'm the best. Woo! Firing guns in the air. And he just gets into his car like with a bottle of Jack in his hand. Just woo! And then he just... Anyway, continue.
I meant to say that at the start. Basically, this origin story does vary across multiple whatever.
Yeah, because he's a bee character.
He's a bee character, yeah.
He's a bee. He's
and
a giant
he's a beekeeper. Yeah. That's it. So, yeah. So, he basically, then his focus was on material things and being a great surgeon, whatever. He'd turn people away because they didn't have the money or the insurance or for whatever. He was all...
Oh, that might come in.
Maybe.
In this one.
We'll see.
You know, American healthcare, you know that
guy. Oh,
Yeah.
Bloody Obamacare or good from Obamacare.
Probably the latter, yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, Mason, don't worry, though. All these things, it all goes well for Stephen Strange. Nothing more bad can happen to him, except for that thing about the horrific car accident that he has.
Right.
In the version... In the version that I read this week, kind of retconned kind of version, he just has, it just says he has a car accident.
Right.
There's no drink drive involved in it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the 60s, that was, they're just like,
it was
whatever.
Assumed, yeah.
Yeah, just drinking and driving, man. And in that, he was in this horrific car accident. He was fine, eventually, but his hands smashed to pieces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they barely managed to save them, but because of the way they are pieced back together, he's got extensive nerve damage and his fingers are all bent out of shape or whatever. He had, as I said in the video, which is on my YouTube thing, he had like beautiful George Costanza hands.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He could have been a hand model.
That's right. Smashed to pieces. So he still had the use of his hands, but not, he couldn't be a surgeon.
Which I think tells me, if anything, magic doesn't require a lot of dexterity.
No, well, that's the thing. But you always see him doing little hand gestures
and
stuff. Yeah,
he's always throwing up some metal horns.
Yeah.
He loves it.
So yeah, he didn't want to be a consultant, like a medical consultant or a teacher or anything. So because it was beneath him.
Right. You know,
which I can understand.
So if you got the good guitar shredding skills of Mark McGrath, you know, you don't want to. You don't want to go back.
So he traveled the world basically exhausting his fortune and drinking, trying to find a remedy, like an alternative remedy to fix his hands.
He tried acupuncture. He tried that one where they dilute the medicine in lots of water and you're just drinking water.
What's that called again?
Homeopathy.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah. But he heard...
He tried that thing where they heat up the cups and they put the hot cups on your back and you're left with weird big dots on your back.
Have you ever done any of those?
Nah, ridiculous.
I've always wanted to do acupuncture.
Well, do it then, you chicken. I got some knitting needles over there. Don't ask why.
I was about to, but you cut me off.
Yeah.
Then we heard rumors of someone called the Ancient One, someone of untold power.
Ooh.
So he said, not being a believer in magic or anything like that, but he was at his last kind of legs, if you will.
Certainly his last hands. You only get one set of those.
That's right.
Look after your hands, kids.
Always. Actually, you can smash one of them.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Like if you like for a bet or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
for a goof, just to see what it's like.
Just to be the coolest guy in your friendship group.
Correct.
Yeah. So he goes to this remote Tibetan palace, and the Ancient One was like, "No, I'm not going to cure you. I can, but I won't."
Ooh.
Because he knew who he was. He'd been monitoring for him for years, knowing that he could have eventually taken over the Ancient One as the Sorcerer Supreme.
Saw the potential in him.
Saw the potential.
Saw his midichlorians.
That's right. Saw them all. So
Magiclorians.
That's right. So yeah, basically
Midispellians.
Midispell, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Midispellians. They'll bring that in, won't they?
Well,
Marvel owned Disney and Disney owned Marvel and
correct,
Star Wars, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all good. Yeah, yeah. So Strange initially said, "No, look, I don't care about this crap. I don't believe in magic and you're a dickhead." So essentially. So but another student of the Ancient One, Mordo, who turned out to be a major villain of his. Who...
With a name like Mordo, surely not.
Launched an attack on the Ancient One.
Yep, yeah.
And this is, you know, and whatever. And stopped Stephen Strange from saying anything by binding him from mentioning it to the Ancient One.
Invisible magic mask.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then Strange went to tell the guy, the Ancient One, but he couldn't. Mm-hmm. But he said, "Listen, I want to stay and train with you because I'm impressed by magic now for whatever reason."
Yeah.
And then the Ancient One revealed that, hey, I knew this guy was betraying me all along. He removed the magic mask or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He's like, "No, you're stuck here, you dickhead."
Yeah.
Because you said you would. So basically, he trained in the sorcery ways,
yeah.
In real saucy ways.
There's so many saucy ways, burlesque.
That's the one with the big feather boas.
Yep, that's yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And basically, he became his greatest student. And after several years of hanging around doing magic, he left and...
Just hanging out.
Set up the Sanctorium.
Yeah.
Sanctorium?
Close enough.
Yeah. And eventually he became the Sorcerer Supreme. He took that over. And he, you know, led him to many team-ups with many famous heroes, including Thor and Spider-Man and whatever. Him and Spider-Man are good mates, aren't they, for some reason?
Yeah, You know what it is? Because the Sanctum Sanctorum has that sweet skylight. And I think Spider-Man can just swing at any time and be like, "Hey, Doc, what's going on?" Also, they can call him Doc. Spider-Man loves calling somebody Doc.
He does.
Especially if they're an actual Doc.
Yeah. He doesn't like it ironically. He probably would do it ironically.
Ironically and ironically. I've started doing stuff like that I did originally ironically. Now I just do it unironically.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's broken my brain. Like calling people bro. Used to do that. Like imagine if I was the kind of guy who called you bro and now I do it.
They just do it. So yeah, yeah. He didn't initially want to be kind of a superhero. He fought a lot of his battles in secret.
Uh-huh.
Because it's all magic, so he can just do that wherever. On another plane of existence. I don't fucking know. But so...
In like a van, like a windowless van. You just open it up. You're like, "Quick, come in here. We're going to fight a battle. Go on." Close the van.
So yeah, there you go. Is there anything I've kind of missed about his origin? I mean, I want to move on to powers in a minute, but what?
No, that's pretty much.
Nothing you want to add? Did we emphasize that in some versions he was drunk when he got in the car accident?
We definitely did mention that. Yes.
Okay, good.
Don't drink and drive, kids.
Nope.
Yeah. Apparently, he was inspired by Chandu the Magician, which was some sort of radio
Okay, cool.
Some sort of radio show in the 1930s.
I thought you were going to say radio magician, because that would have been like, I definitely made this rabbit disappear.
Oh, there's no way for you to tell, but just believe in magic, everybody.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Are you a fan of magic-based superheroes?
You're going to say, am I a fan of radio plays?
I am.
Are
you a fan of radio plays? I know you are, actually. Yeah.
Magic-based superheroes. Yes, as long as the rules are kind of...
consistent.
Yeah. Which they aren't really with Doctor Strange, but he's not, you know... It's all about being, it's all about confidence.
It is
ultimately.
A lot about confidence and like pure of heart and.
Yeah.
And
also it's, you know what, they talk a big talk about magic and whatever, but mostly it's just him shooting energy beams, which most superheroes do anyway, so it doesn't matter ultimately.
That's right,
it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. But as far as his magic goes, Mason, he's got a lot. Oh, actually, you mentioned, what was it? Something before.
I mentioned a lot of things though, to be
remember.
Fair.
I'll come back to it if okay. I remember it. Anyway, so he gets a lot of his powers, he draws from,
upper planar beings, like that's extra-dimensional
right.
beings.
The Vishanti?
He swipes them.
He does.
He swipes them.
And they're cool with that. Sometimes, though, they're not cool with it. But correct. He doesn't anyway. But the main ones he draws from, would you say the Vishanti? Is that where I got that?
Right? Sure. The Fault. Yeah. I can do these off the top of my head. The Faultine. Flames of the Faultine. The Watoom. Winds of Watoom.
You love that one.
Sidorak. The Crimson Bands of Sidorak, which Sidorak is the...
Is that the Green Bands? No, they're Crimson,
they're Crimson.
Aren't they?
I just said that with my words. The Gem of Sidorak is the artifact that gave the Juggernaut his powers.
Yeah,
so that's Sidorak. Why he's messing around.
Bloody Sidorak.
Yeah.
Sick of his shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Juggernaut's not just a guy, isn't he? Mm. Like a big guy.
Mm. Mm. I used to, we're talking about his powers.
Yeah.
Dr. Strange's powers. He's got all the bolts of Balthak or whatever. And those. Back in the day, they produced some Marvel Choose Your Own Adventure novels.
Okay.
I don't think they were official Choose Your Own Adventure novels, but right. They were kind of, and it was, you know, it'd be a case of like these.
You wrote these, didn't you?
I wrote them in my backyard, yes. And there'd be, you know, there'd be some sort of high-tech bank robbery going on, and it'd be like, do you want to use the Crimson Bands of Sidorak? Go to this page. Do you want to use the Winds of Watoom? You go to this page. Blah, 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 blah. And you'd pick one, and you'd just be like, you use it and it doesn't work, and they zap you with a gun and you die. Like, it was one of... You know, I hated Choose Your Own Adventure.
Me too.
It made no sense.
Yeah.
Like, there was never a clue in that page of what the best option would be. It'd be like, you know, what option would you use? Bearing in mind they're at the edge of a cliff, and if it was real windy, they'd fall off. Do you want to use the Winds of Watoom? Yes, I do. Right? That would make sense, but it doesn't. There was never any clues.
A lot of them are like that. It'd be like, do you want to go through the trap door or the door? And you're like, well, I'll go through the door. And then, like, the door slams shut on your head and kills you. Yeah. It's like, what? And, you know, because if you don't leave your thumb in the last page, you're like, So, there you go.
Cloak of Levitation.
Yeah.
Orb of Agamotto, which we saw in Thor.
It's actually, yeah, the orb.
Wait, was
not,
it? Was
no,
it?
It's the orb. It's not the eye.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Well, the eye of Agamotto can do all sorts of stuff, like, it can, like, stop and reverse time if it needs to, and, like, shoot beams and whatever. It's like his main thing,
I would say,
or one of his main things. The Cape of Levitation's kind of like, I liken it to the carpet from Aladdin. Like, it's sort of a little bit sentient.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of alluded to, and he can control it with his mind.
It's Spawn's cape from Spawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
do you think he'll have a sweet, really terrible CGI cape in this movie?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I wonder where they're going to go with the costume, actually, because there's a few variations of it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go full, goofy, high-collar kind of cape.
I think they might.
I hope they
do. I think that could work.
Yeah. Mm. I love it.
Yeah.
But when they did Thor, right, didn't they?
Yeah.
He looks ridiculous.
Yes.
In the comics.
Yeah.
And in the movies. That's great. Also, the Orb of Agamotto lets him, like, peer into other dimensions and, like, perceive there's any threats and whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got other things like the Book of Vishanti, which has got a whole lot of, like, white magic spells that are, like, secret and whatever. But he also uses, like, dark magic and all that kind of stuff when he needs to. A lot of it's, like, incantations and hand movements, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you, like, bind his hands.
Or break them
or
in
break
a car accident.
Then that can stop him from doing what he can do. Though sometimes it appears that he can just kind of magic things just without saying anything or doing anything. And other times it's like it's very...
Well, that's magic for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mason, without magic, he's not without his skills.
Martial artist.
Yes. Mm. I was going to say surgeon, but not really.
Not really.
He broke his head. Though he can do...
He probably can prescribe some stuff.
Yeah.
Write you a prescription for something, maybe.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he said... Actually, he did...
He probably writes a lot of prescriptions for Xanax and stuff to all the other superheroes.
Well, like, he did...
I'm under a lot of stress, Doc. I mean...
I know you're a surgeon, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just give me some Valium.
He did some back alley stuff, actually. Some medical stuff before he went to Tibet.
Oh.
Like, he did a bit of that. So... But yeah, he can do surgery with the aid of magic.
Uh-huh.
And he has consulted before.
Okay.
Afterwards. But yeah, martial arts. He trained when he was in Tibet as well. He trained as well, doing
sure.
the kicking and punching.
Sure.
Because he can
probably not good on his hands.
No, but he can, though, he just doesn't have the dexterity.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But like, as you said, something like he couldn't beat, say, Iron Fist
right.
in a fight. Mm-hmm. Because he's the best at fighting.
He's one of the best.
One of the best. Sure. Yeah, yeah. But he's also assisted by Wong. You know, his monk. His personal assistant monk.
His monk mate.
His monk mate, yeah. Who also he trains with as well.
Uh-huh.
He's this very skilled martial artist. And he's always like, get me the thing, monk mate. And then he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But he says it nicely.
He does say it nicely.
He's lost some of his arrogance.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's the thing. Because a lot of the items that he uses and a lot of the spells that you use or whatever, you have to be pure of heart to use them. Mm. And he has achieved that over the years of...
Good on him.
Pretending to be a nice guy.
Sure.
No, but he is a nice guy. That's the whole point of him, I guess.
Mm.
And the other thing is his age, Mason. You know, a lot of characters, they kind of retcon their age.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so he's a teen sorcerer or whatever.
Exactly. So, like, you know, Iron Man couldn't really be born in the 1930s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Punisher Max, we've talked about before, though, he actually is as old
as... He's still a Vietnam War veteran, yeah.
But he's... Because he won a deal with death, that he's... Now ageless,
uh-huh.
and he can live for an extended period of time. He's also immune to like diseases and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You can still like hit him with an axe.
Oh, sure.
And it will still, you know, if it breaks through his whatever,
uh-huh.
then you can kill him.
Sure.
But
if that axe has, you know, herpes on it, he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, he was born in like 1930 or the early 1930s, which is pretty cool, I think. That means he was a really good surgeon in the 60s, but... Does that really matter now?
Oh, really?
I think I could be.
Yeah, exactly. We could be surgeon in the 60s. Just chop a man open, pour some whiskey in there, one for him, one for you. Fiddle some stuff around. Did they live? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Collect your pay.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. You got anything else on his powers that worth
not
mentioning?
Really. He's sort of been responsible for, like, they've written him as kind of responsible for some of the most significant magic goings on in the Marvel Universe, like... That we sort of forget. Like in the 50s and 60s, you couldn't put vampires in a comic book.
Yeah.
Because of the Comics Code Authority. Like it was,
like
it was against the, okay, so
that's right. They had that weird code, didn't they?
Yeah. In the mid 1950s, there was this guy called Frederick Wortham and he wrote a book called Seduction of the Innocent.
He was like the biggest asshole.
Yeah. He was the biggest asshole. And basically he said, look, you know, teen delinquency is on the rise. And that's because of comic books. And he did all sorts of like, he made all these examples and some of the comic books back in the day were kind of, they were a bit much.
Yeah, well, they kind of started really grim, like Batman started really grim then went campy.
Yeah,
probably
yeah,
as a result of the show as well.
But there was like, Bill Gaines, who created like Mad Magazine, also created like a lot of kind of Tales from the Crypt kind of things.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of, you know, women being murdered for no reason and all this sort of stuff. And like, in many ways, it was kind of, good that a lot of those were done away with, but this thing went really, really far. Like, so nobody in a position of authority could be shown to be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm,
so a cop could never turn out to be a bad guy or like a judge or like a, you know, whatever.
Because you're a bloody communist if you say it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Or, you know, at the end of an issue, the good guys always had to win.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult to have a multi-issue story arc because you couldn't have the bad guys, you know, on top at the end of one issue because that would break the rules of the
game.
So, but then it sort of went sort of really, so it went super far. Like, and for whatever reason, you know, wanton murder and whatever was gone, but they'd also got rid of stuff like there would be no ghosts, no ghouls, no werewolves, no vampires. Like just in case kids looked at this thing and were like, I want to become a vampire. And it went to the point where, there's this guy, Marv Wolfman, who many years later created Blade, the character of Blade. The Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, they brought it back.
Did they even get rid of the rule, or did people just go, just start ignoring it?
Because
I know they were kind of, they tried to, like, appease him for a while, then they just went, kind of like...
Yeah, elements of it, like, the Comics Code Authority still exists, but nobody has to abide. Like, it's sort of voluntary. Nobody really has to abide to it. So I think they just started ignoring it after a while. So yeah, Marv Wolfman created Blade many years later, but during the time of the Comics Code Authority, he was like, I'm going to, you know, I wrote this story. And let's publish this story. And they got a complaint about it. It was some spooky story, Tales of Mystery kind of story.
Yeah.
And they got a complaint from the Comics Code Authority. You have to, you know, reprint this. You can't. Because he got a cover credit in it. And his name's Marv Wolfman. And it's spelled Wolfman. And you can't have the word Wolfman in a comic book. Because that's against the rules.
That's so ridiculous.
So it went too far. Yeah. But anyway, so what was I talking about? Oh yeah, Stephen Strange. They worked around this by saying, well, the reason that there aren't any vampires in the Marvel universe is because Stephen Strange got rid of them all. He cast a spell which sort of eliminated them all from the universe.
Yeah.
And then eventually when his sanctum was destroyed, like in the, I want to say in the mid to late 70s, and the spell that, like, so when the rule came back and they're like, we're just going to put vampires in now.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just have his sanctum be destroyed. And the spell that stopped that happening is now gone. And so vampires started appearing.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Comics and history.
Yeah.
Do you think some of that, though, I mean, it sucks all that stuff happened, but do you think it encourages creativity in a way?
I think it did,
putting limits on things?
I think weirdness, it certainly, you know, I think maybe comic books were getting a bit stale at that point.
Yeah.
And I think because if you do look at comic books from the 50s, I have a compilation, it's like the best of DC stories from the 50s.
Mm.
And some of them are terrible, sure, but some of them are super creative, and we did get a lot of just wild stuff in there.
Okay,
so,
cool.
You know, swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts, sure.
Oh, also, the Marvel Universe couldn't have the Mafia because it was, you know, considered, you know, what's the Mafia? It's organized crime. You can't have them.
So is that where, like, your Kingpin come from?
Yeah, well, they were part of the Magia. So they just moved the letters over. They moved one letter over. Yeah, because the Comics Code Authority was essentially lawyers.
Yeah.
And you could beat them by doing loopholes and lawyery stuff. That's like, well, it doesn't specifically say Mafia, so I guess they're
jealous.
Yeah, but the Comics Code Authority, like, it suffered a blow in the 70s because Marvel released a Spider-Man story where Spider-Man, like, got drugged. Like, there was a story about drugs,
and it was
about the evils of drugs.
Yeah,
you know, but the Comics Code Authority said, no, you can't put this out. And they're like, but it's against drugs. And they're like, well, you can't say drugs. And they published it anyway. And so I kind of, you know,
awesome.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's
Marvel, very
cool.
Progressive.
Yeah. Okay. Good for them.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Doctor Strange.
Well, yeah. Just I guess so. His powers, he can pretty much do anything. Like, he can banish beings to another dimension.
Yep.
He can fly. He can teleport. He can read minds. He can change into something else. He can do
not a bloody good surgeon, though. It's too late for him.
So, yeah, anything really magic, anything he wants to do, he kind of can do. And he's one of the most powerful sorcerers. You know, he probably is the most powerful sorcerer.
He's the Sorcerer Supreme of the Earth Dimension.
Yeah, that's it.
Sure,
but he's not the most powerful being, though.
No.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of somebody better. Mandrake the Magician.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Yes, good.
He's got weaknesses, though, Mason.
Uh-huh.
Number one I've got here.
Arrogance.
Sure. Number one, arrogance. Number two, getting bashed.
Sure.
In the sense that if he drops his magical guard,
you
can still hit him really hard.
He's just a guy.
He's just
sure.
a man. He's just a regular man. And a classic example of this during World War Hulk.
Yep.
I was going to say Eric Banner. Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner lured him close by changing back to human form.
Uh-huh.
And because they're kind of friends and whatever. And Stephen Strange is one of the people responsible for sending the Hulk into space initially.
Whoops.
To get rid of him. And they're having this kind of heart to heart, and Bruce Banner reaches out, grabs his hands, changes into the Hulk, and just crushes his hands again, like re-breaks them.
Wow, man.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, sure.
And from that, Stephen Strange like drinks a potion where he gets like this demon entity kind of comes into his body, and he gets like mace hands, and he goes after the Hulk and like beats him up or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole thing.
That sounds fun.
But yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, also like magic attacks from other sorcerers obviously can damage him. Or any kind of magical attack. And also magical items. There's a story which I read this week where somebody, just a regular kind of cat burglar guy, has the gun that Hitler shot himself with.
Huh.
And because it's got so much bad kind of negative energy and whatever around it, that bullet can penetrate his defenses. And he's shot.
Because it's a bad vibes gun.
It's a bad vibes gun. Also because he can astral project, like he can project his form somewhere else. Not physically, like obviously that's the point of it. His body is then susceptible to... You can just walk up and like step on his balls and stuff.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Do you think Doctor Strange and Professor X have ever met in the astral plane and had like a slap fight? I assume so.
Yes. I do think so. Yeah. Yes. That would be amazing.
And then in the meantime, like Wong and all the kids at the Xavier School have just drawn dicks on their face. Safe to assume.
Safe to assume. Yeah. Yeah. Any other weaknesses you can think of?
Nah.
Also, like,
it's going to be tricky sort of honing all that magical ability down into a character who is not completely invulnerable all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's going to be an origin story, so.
Maybe they'll make it a confidence thing.
Sure.
Like in Green Lantern, where he didn't have enough confidence, but then he did have enough confidence.
Sure.
So, yeah.
There's a Marvel character called Gladiator. I don't know if you're familiar with
it. I was going to say there was a Marvel character called Confidence.
Confidence, yeah. No powers, he's just really confident. Yeah. He gets places. But he's called Gladiator, he's an alien.
Yeah.
And he's kind of purple hair mohawk. And he's like Superman, except his powers wax and wane depending on how confident he feels.
Okay.
So there you go.
Can he be real non-confident?
Yeah, but he's still pretty super.
Okay, cool.
When he's not confident.
Okay,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Nice guy?
Not really, kind of a prick.
Villains, Mason.
Yes.
He's got a few.
Okay.
I mean, as with the Marvel Universe, everybody tangles with everybody at some point.
Sure, sure.
Like, he's tangled with, like, Loki and Doctor Doom and Magneto and blah, blah, blah. Also, apparently, he's more susceptible to, like, science-based opponents.
Oh, okay.
Because just like magic can't replicate... No, sorry. Just like science can't replicate magic, magic can't replicate science. So any scientific discovery. So he can't, like... Say, conjure up a cure for whatever.
Sure.
You know, the flu or whatever.
Sure,
so, yeah.
That herpes axe he was hit with earlier.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, yeah. But his main ones are probably, as we've mentioned, Mordo, who's a former Sorcerer Supreme apprentice who's got a whole lot of magic and stuff.
Uh-huh.
They don't get along. They're not friends. They both got beards. You know?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Just like a green version of him, I
guess. He's stockier.
So, oh, yeah, okay, fair point. Better hands as well.
Sure, I'd imagine. Great hands. Took all those hand modeling contracts. That was a bitter pill to swallow.
They swapped careers.
Yeah, yeah.
Dormammu.
You
yeah,
can say
that's
Dormammu,
it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
From the Dark Dimension.
Yeah. He's one of the most powerful beings, isn't that right, in the Marvel Universe?
I think he's the Sorcerer Supreme of the other dimension.
Okay,
the Dark
cool.
Dimension, where he lives. Or he was. So he's got a niece called Clea.
Yeah.
Who is Doctor Strange's kind of love interest over the decades.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's his niece, even though the fact that she is a beautiful woman and he is a man with a firehead.
Isn't it sometimes his sister as well?
Potentially, sure. Yeah. I think it's niece.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
There's a few others, though, like Nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, I remember
pretty
Nightmare.
Much like the Freddy Krueger of Marvel. Mm-hmm. He gets in your dreams and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Doesn't molest you, though.
Great.
Like Freddy Krueger.
It's all I want. Yeah. It's all I want in a villain, really. Rob all the banks you want, I don't care.
Yeah, that's it. And Thanos, he's been up against
as
well. There's a lot of, actually, if you type in, like, Thanos and Stephen Strange into Google, there's a lot of, like, who would win between them. And a lot of the time it's just that Thanos would obliterate him.
Uh-huh.
Especially if he had the Infinity Gauntlet.
Sure.
But that's one of the times that they met was due to that, when Thanos was trying to get hold of that and whatever, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's got a whole lot of villains, as I mentioned in my video as well. I did a Stephen Strange video, by the way.
Great. Does he have that many villains, though? Like, no, he doesn't have a Spider-Man level of villains.
No, he doesn't. But a lot of them, though, he's got a lot, but they're like,
one-offs?
Hard to pronounce and
one-offs. Oh, right, okay, so you just gave up on
it. It's like, it's the Magma Doo from the bloody blood dimension or
sure,
whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And,
uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he infiltrates whatever and blech, all that kind of gear.
Uh-huh.
He's been around. Any other villains you can think of note? Dexterity?
I was going to say, I was trying to think of something to do with Dexterity. Yeah, like threading a needle.
Yeah, sure.
It's his ultimate villain. Oh, no, went to the side. Oh, went to the other side. Oh, forget it. Wong! Thread this needle for me. I've got to sew a button back on.
He's appeared in various things, Mason, over the years.
I remember. Sure.
Yeah, like...
Spider-Man cartoons.
He was in the Ultimate Spider-Man one, the 90s one. He's been in that Incredible Hulk one. A whole bunch of other stuff. He's been in video games. A lot of time, though, he's not playable, especially in the earlier games.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people wouldn't know who he is. Like, he appears in some Spider-Man video games as like a... He's just kind of there. Do you know what
sure,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you go to him and he's like, be the best Spider-Man or whatever. I don't know. I haven't played it. He was in Ultimate Alliance, but everybody was in Ultimate Alliance.
Correct, yeah. Clea was in Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
No, she was in, like, when you go to the Sanctum Sanctorum, like, set, whatever thing.
Yeah.
She's there. She's like, hey, Doctor Strange.
And he's like, shut up.
Hey, baby. Going on, baby.
He's also he's recently on the past few years. He's had a kind of love interest with the night nurse.
Huh?
They're getting it on.
Yeah, nice.
You know
nice.
It.
Oh, he's also in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes, exactly.
Super exciting. Good.
Yeah, yeah. I have a copy of that. You got a copy of that
somewhere?
Cool.
Yeah,
I've got it on PS Vita.
Well, well. You were the person who bought the PS Vita.
I was that guy. Yes. The very little. Oh yeah, we should talk about E3. Not really. Did you see anything from it that you liked? Batman looks good.
Yep, okay.
That's all the comic book stuff, though.
Yeah, okay.
Mortal Kombat's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. There's a game called Evolve, which looked very good.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not out till October.
Xbox One?
Xbox One and PS4.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Those are the guys who did the one about the zombies. Wasn't it?
Like that one video game about
that
zombies.
One
Left 4 Dead.
No, yeah, Left 4 Dead. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, oh, that's just PS4 as well, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And PC,
okay.
Yeah. All
cool.
Formats.
It was also when there was a movie in 1997, an animated movie, which I haven't seen. Apparently it's okay.
Uh-huh.
Good, not great. It's called Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme. It's like his origin story.
Okay.
And he had a 1978 telly movie.
I was going to talk about that. That's on YouTube.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I watched like a minute of it.
I watched maybe 4 minutes of it.
Can't watch it.
Yeah.
It's...
Okay. Except it's got Jessica Walter in it.
Who
Young
is?
Jessica Walter. She's Lucille Bluth in Arrested Development.
Ah!
She's also the voice of Mallory Archer in Archer.
Yeah. Okay.
Stone Fox back in the day. Yeah. In 78. Let me tell you.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, she's great. I watched. Did you watch it when you were a kid?
No, I just watched. I watched it today.
Yeah, I just thought you might have watched it before.
No, it's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. Mm. It's about an hour and a half long, and I watched the first about 5 minutes, and then I sort of scrubbed through it.
Yeah,
I reckon nothing magical happens for about 50 minutes, at least. I got to about 50, and he's like tumbling through a dimensional portal. It's pretty great. Anyway, I'm gonna watch. That's part of my watch you reading for this week. I'm gonna give it a crack just to see if it's any good. But he's got a sweet fro and he's got a sweet mo.
He does. Yeah. He certainly does. Yeah. Now they've tried to adapt this since like the mid '80s. Like Wes Craven was attached.
Okay.
At one
yep.
Point.
Sure.
He would probably made a good like 1980s kind of Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
David S. Goyer during the 90s.
Okay.
Guillermo del Toro
would have been a good one. Sure.
He would have been good as well. Definitely the third one of those I'd like to see out of all of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there have been attempts to make him before, but now that he's with Marvel and whatever, because the rights have kind of been passed around, he's hopefully in good hands, Mason.
I hope so.
Because in this upcoming movie, they've alluded to Doctor Strange before, there is the Orb of Agamotto.
Well, they alluded to him in Spider-Man 2.
Did they?
Yeah.
When?
They're like, we need a, because Dr. Octopus appears.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need a character. We need a name for the, J. Jonah Jameson says, hey, we need a name for this guy. How about this? How about Doctor Whatever? How about Doctor Strange? He's like, I love it, but it's taken.
Yeah.
So.
Good point. Well, I think, yeah, Avi Arad, actually, I read that. He was trying to make it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. What else was I going to say? I can't remember. But yeah, also, he's name dropped in The Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
What's his name? The agent who, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, the agent who, what's his name? Sitwell, Agent
yep.
Sitwell. He's rambling off a list of names of potential dangerous people to Hydra. And one of them he mentions is Stephen
Strange.
Strange,
yeah.
They don't say whether he's still a surgeon or whatever at that point, but he probably is, I'd imagine.
It's probably because he's just a dangerous drunk driver. We have to eliminate him before he crashes into an orphanage or something.
Break his bloody hands.
Yeah.
That'll shut him up. Yeah, but he also, in the comics, he's in possession of the Soul Gem, which is, of course, part of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, okay.
So that could probably tie in that way.
Yeah, totally.
Because this is going to be a Phase 3 movie, so... Phase 3 will end with the Avengers 3, which will probably end up with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Sure.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we know so far, though, about the movie, Mason.
Uh-huh.
Director Scott Derrickson, who did Insidious, we talked about this last week,
sure.
He's taken it on. Some of the rumored actors who were said to be in talks with Marvel or have talked to them, Benny C, Benedict Cumberbatch, you're a
okay,
fan.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I know you're a massive fan of all of these. Thomas Hardy.
Okay, sure.
And Jared Leto.
Old mate Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Hang on, give me. I looked up a list of Doctor Strange casting choices. Hang on.
I got some more here. If you're interested.
Yeah, sure. Oh, Hugh Laurie. People suggested Hugh Laurie.
But also, I think
because he's a doctor.
Because he's a
doctor. An arrogant doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think people would just be like, "This is House with magic."
Well, like, I think that people will feel like way about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, good
he's
point.
Like he's just an arrogant guy who knows a lot.
Yeah.
That's
a really good point.
Yeah. I think, but again, I think this is how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, well, we need an arrogant guy, Cumberbatch. We need an arrogant doctor. Oh, it's Hugh Laurie. We need just a handsome guy. So Tom Hardy, you know, kind of thing.
We need Jared Leto.
Jared Leto, because he's all kind of weird. He's got the weird eye makeup. Somebody said, people have said Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. Oh, yeah.
For Arrested Development, Joe.
That Arnett. Would be pretty cool.
Because, you know,
they'd
be saying,
too comical, though, wouldn't it?
Well, they're saying, well, Paul Rudd
exactly.
is they a comedic actor, and they're going to be, which I assume Ant-Man is going to be largely comedic.
But they've got a comedic guy, so I'm thinking they won't get him.
Yeah. And also because Will Arnett was Job, magician or illusionist in Arrested Development, I don't think people will take that seriously. I'd like to see that. He's got a great, dark, dramatic voice.
Yeah, he does.
But I think that would be ridiculous. So Hugh Laurie, there we go. Johnny Depp, people said Johnny
Depp.
Don't
like it.
Don't like it at all. Somebody said on Twitter, and I cannot remember who it was, but Oded Fehr, who you may recognize as this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a really good choice.
He's in The Mummy.
He's in The Mummy.
And the Mummy
he's
Returns.
In He is in the Resident Evil films.
The one in the
them.
Desert? The one set in the desert?
Is he not in all of them? He's in some
Yeah, he's
of them.
In a couple of them, yeah.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's
but
good.
He's got the good look here. This photo we've got here, he's got the grey at the temples.
Yep.
He's got a nice full beard, which you could transform into any configuration imaginable. You want a mustache? You got a mustache. You want a goatee? You got a goatee.
I don't think they're going to goatee him. No, simply because of Tony Stark.
Correct, yeah.
They'll have to do some kind of other variation on beard.
I think they'll mustache him.
Yeah, they probably will. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, mustaches are in now, aren't they?
See, look at that. I'm covering the mustache. Looks great.
It does look great.
Yeah, yeah.
Even from this angle.
Sure.
Patrick Dempsey. Apparently,
there we go. Yeah,
he was into it, but I don't think he's that charismatic or interesting.
Not
I think
really,
he's kind of bland.
He's kind, yeah.
Nothing against him, but I just don't think he's that interesting.
Well, yeah, because he's in.
He's the doctor in Grey's Anatomy.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah.
and he's been in a lot of kind of maid of honor generic.
Yeah,
but what? You know, it's just a thing, isn't it? It's not.
He's part of that famous 80s Brat Pack.
Oh yes.
None of which have been successful. Huh. Well, let me think. Emilio Estevez.
Let's get Emilio Estevez as Doctor Strange.
Sure. Apparently he's really, really short.
Okay.
He doesn't look really short, no, though. No. What about Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen, yeah. Right. Yeah. He's arrogant, certainly.
Did you watch 24?
No.
I once compared it to... No, I once said it's that show that your racist dad likes.
Right, sure.
It's just about beating up, you know...
Minorities. And
yeah, that's it. I'm sure it's not all of it. But whatever episodes I've seen, he's always beating up a minority. I haven't seen a lot of it.
Why did you bring this up?
Kiefer Sutherland is part of a Brat Pack.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the show 24 could be cast as Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the whole entire show.
The whole cast.
Whoever the current president is in that show, maybe he's been assassinated. There's been like 8 presidents since that show started. But yeah.
Just alternate actors from that as Doctor Strange in every different scene.
That's right.
One scene it's Kiefer, one scene it's Mary Lynn Rice Cub, one scene it's Buddy Bar, you know. One scene it's Peter Weller.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Dormammu, it's hard to say. They're saying
it's not that hard to say.
They're saying maybe Ron Perlman. That's a rumor.
Okay, Dormammu doesn't really have a face though.
No,
so
he's like
really
a flamey kind of thing. And Baron Mordo, I like this one. John Rhys-Davies, Beckham.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Though he would be also a good Doctor Strange.
Indiana Jones films.
No, you're thinking of John Rhys-Meyers.
No, you're thinking of that's John Rhys-Davies.
Is it?
Yeah. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is a completely different guy.
Oh my goodness.
You idiot.
I've done a real thing here.
You've done a real thing.
You know what? I remember putting that in and I remember thinking, I hope I got the right John Rhys-Meyers. I hope I got the right John Mayer. A friend of mine met John Mayer once.
How'd that go?
Said he was a real dickhead.
Fantastic.
Yep, you're right. I apologize.
Yep, that's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. He's that guy who's in things.
Yep.
So who's right here?
I can't.
You're
right.
Okay.
Yes.
They want Jonathan Rhys-Davies as Mordo. Okay, cool.
No, wait, yeah. Is that... What did I say?
I don't know anymore. Let's edit this out or leave it in.
The handsome young guy, they want him.
Okay.
Basically.
All right.
He's in, like, Tudors and whatever.
Yeah,
with
Henry Cavill. Right. They want that guy.
Yeah, they want that guy.
Because if we're talking short and stocky and kind of evil-looking,
yeah,
Jonathan Rhys-Davies.
But he's not
from
really...
From Indiana Jones films and the TV show Sliders.
And The Hobbit. The Hobbit, the other ones.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Hobbit.
That would be great, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Some other names that have been thrown up. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. John Hammington.
He's not very... Yep. I'll
well,
John
he has to be American, doesn't he? Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, but
he has to have an American accent.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen can probably do that.
Probably, yeah.
But does he strike you as...
He struck me with a cricket bat once.
That sounds like Mikkelsen. I think he needs to be arrogant and unlikable initially.
Yeah.
But he needs to have a certain...
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, he needs to have a certain je ne sais quoi, obviously. But a certain fun charisma kind of thing. Because if they want to replace... Eventually, they're going to have to replace Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
I think they want to replace him with something quite similar.
Yeah.
And I'd say that you probably need... I don't think Mikkelsen...
Mikkelsen ain't got it.
He ain't fun and charming. He's charming, but he's charming in a terrifying way.
Yeah, good point. Mm. John Hamm.
Yep, on board.
Justin Theroux, who actually had a hand in writing Iron Man 2.
And Tropic Thunder.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Ben Stiller directed that.
Justin Theroux wrote it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got some skills, that guy. Yeah. Hugh Laurie, we've mentioned before.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Skeet Ulrich, the poor man's Johnny Depp.
Is that a trick? No, that can't
no,
be
no.
Right.
These are rumors, by the way. Okay. I didn't pull these names out of nowhere. But I like this last one, Jim Caviezel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I've got a couple here that.
Oh, Justin Theroux. See, I've not really looked at Justin Theroux ever.
Yeah.
As a person, but he can carry that off.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about this? Meganitri Putri, who you pronounced his name right the other week, he wrote in. I did not. And he said that basically that you won and I get nothing.
Fantastic.
Which is fair.
Yeah. What do I get as the winner?
You get the glory.
Fantastic.
You get glory. Oh no, you get all his stuff when he dies.
Yes.
Okay. Now he says he thinks Pedral Pascal from Game of Thrones would be a better choice. I think we've got enough white people in the MCU, and I strongly believe that we, as a society, are ready for a coloured superhero lead. I know Blade was a thing, but come on, that was like 10 years ago, and Catwoman never happened. He's right. But also, he's forgetting about Steel. So.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Racist.
Now, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but he's great.
No, but I'm looking at this guy here. Okay, yep.
And he can pull off all sorts of accents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, good, good.
And I like him.
He's got a bit of a shadow of a mustache here, so that could be
he could totally work. He can mustache it up.
Yeah, yeah. So. And actually, if you look him up, one of the image options is Odette Fair. So, yeah, okay. Totally works.
Cool, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. I got one here that I thought would be good as well, maybe.
Okay, I'm ready.
If you slim down a little bit, Eric Banner.
Are they going to give him another superhero chance?
Well, they do occasionally. I don't think they would, but I think he'd be really good in that. Also, the thing about Eric Banner is he needs to make a good movie because he's a good actor, but he's never made a good movie. We're talking about this before. Chopper's fine, whatever. Uh-huh. Some people like the Hulk.
Sure.
And whatever. But when are you ever like, oh, that's the great Eric Banner movie?
Correct, you're right.
There isn't one, except maybe Chopper.
Right.
Yeah, which I don't think is that good. You got any names, though, that you think could do it?
No, Justin Theroux looked pretty good. You mentioned Jim Caviezel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he that would totally work, I think. Yeah. He's charming.
He is. Mm. Nearly Superman at one point.
Nearly Superman at one point turned down like $1 billion to do a series of Jesus-themed films, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know, right?
He did that one Jesus film, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But I think they were like, "Look, you could be on the Jesus gravy train forever at this point.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you just want to." But
apparently, he said that kind of shot down his career a little bit, kind of closed off a lot of doors in Hollywood for him.
That's what we
on
call the
role.
Jesus curse.
Everybody since Jesus has had it. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Any other names, Mason? You like to throw up?
No, nope, that's it.
All right then.
Yep.
Great stuff. Any of those names would be fine, or none of them, right?
I think all of those would be perfectly acceptable. But I'm leaning towards Odette Fair, I think. That would be
cool.
My pick.
All right.
Yeah.
It's time for Mason.
What? What we read and what we're going to read.
I thought you were spacing out the words then. No. Just went, what?
We read and what we're going to read.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? All right. I got a few things related to Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh, sure.
Do you have a few things related to Doctor Strange?
I'm going to start with, if you want to, I don't know if you can find it, if it's on Comixology or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you want a sweet dose of the 90s, you should look up Midnight Suns, which is the extreme 90s. Back when everything was extreme. Doctor Strange was extreme. Hang on. You want to see what...
How many belt buckles did he have?
So many belt buckles. You want to see what he looked like back in the 90s?
How many guns did he carry?
So many guns, but there he is. Look at that.
Wow. Is that a helmet?
It's like a full face mask. You can't see his face. He's all... weird colours. He's hanging out with Morbius.
Oh, wow.
He was in the Midnight Suns, which was sort of like a very loose coalition of like super extreme 90s kind of sort of demonic and magical guys. Ghost Rider was in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was the extreme 90s Ghost Rider.
The even more extreme
Ghost Rider, yeah. Look at this. Look, they got swords, they got guns, like big guns, a series of flaming motorcycles. Look, at this point, it's bloody extreme 90s Ghost Rider teaming up with Johnny Blaze, the original Ghost Rider, except he's become more extreme. He's got a bionic eye. That's how extreme he is. Is this guy in a trench coat? He's clearly some sort of bloody Constantine ripoff. There's a woman. How about that?
There's a woman.
Yeah.
That is extreme.
Pretty extreme. There's Morbius. Oh, pretty great. Anyway, look up the Midnight Suns.
All
right. Pretty great.
That sounds great.
Oh, and if you want something that isn't terrible, there was a Doctor Strange miniseries from... the late 90s, I think. It was called Flight of Bones.
Okay.
And it was like a 4-issue miniseries. And it's more... It's kind of... There isn't a huge amount of action. It's more Doctor Strange's detective kind of thing.
Is it more hot than not?
Yeah, it's more hot than not, certainly.
Good.
I hope it's called Flight of Bones. It's been a long time.
Maybe it's called Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, think, yeah, yeah, go download Flight of the Conchords. Australia's own.
Yes, that's right.
But Flight of Bones, anyway. And it's by... All the art's by Tony Harris, who's a... who's a Starman? It did a lot of illustrations on Starman and a lot of other stuff. And it's Molto Bene.
They'd come out of the extreme 90s era at that point.
We're at the very tail end.
Great. That's good. What do you think people would define this era of comics as? Like events, probably.
Probably
like,
a
it's
lot
the
of
big
events. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's always the big event. I got one here from a few years ago.
Hang on, let's check out. Here's a Flight of Bones cover. How good is this?
That does look cool.
That's a good, and that's all the interior art looks like that as well.
That's another thing about, isn't Doctor Strange has some incredible artwork, like even like a lot of the earlier stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, will cite, you know, Sandman as kind of super crazy surreal art, but I think the origin of crazy surreal art was Steve Ditko's work on Doctor Strange back in the day,
And also Pablo Picasso once drank like 4 liters of paint and just threw up.
Huh.
So that, I think, is actually the origin.
That's probably the origin of kind of some surreal stuff. You're right.
Yeah. I got here Doctor Strange The Oath. This is from a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember
that. It's a really good, you know, shortish kind of run. It starts with him being shot and taken into the ER.
Uh-huh.
And basically he's in his astral projection form, he's over his body kind of like assisting the night nurse in kind of, you know, well, she doesn't really need his assistance, but, you know, kind of being there and explaining what has happened because he's been shot with that Hitler's gun. Remember what
I remember
about
Hitler's
before?
Gun, sure, yeah.
And also at the same time, there's this cure for cancer, which what he thinks is just a cure for cancer, which has been taken from his sanctorum room.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to get that back for the sake of a good friend of his, I won't say who, and possibly for the sake of all mankind. And it's really good because it shows all his skills, not just, because he's injured for the entire run of it. It shows not just his magic abilities, but at the end it shows off his martial arts stuff as well.
Uh-huh, sure.
And just kind of the kind of person that he is. Not being a massive Doctor Strange reader, you can just, which I'm not, I just jump straight into this and it immediately makes sense. And it's a really good read. Doctor Strange, The Oath. It's available, Mason, where all good comics are found.
The internet.
Yes.
Great.
Got another one, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
You're familiar with season one, right? Or those Marvel season ones.
Yes, I am, yep.
They're not all good, are they?
No.
A lot of them, they're generally considered that the art's pretty amazing, but they're often more not than hot.
Correct.
That's what they say. But the Doctor Strange season one is really good.
Hmm.
And it takes it right back to his origin.
Uh-huh.
And it's very much focused on his early days of how he gets to the Tibetan palace, and how he earns the right to be good in his heart and whatever. And he's going along with another apprentice of the Ancient One or whatever, and they're both kind of learning lessons from each other. Because his skill is he's really good at remembering incantations.
Uh-huh.
And all that kind of stuff.
But not so good at imagining and remembering issues of the heart.
That's right, exactly. But the other guy's the other way around, where he's not as learned as Doctor Strange, but he is more kind of mystical and magical kind of. Does that kind of make sense,
yeah.
I guess?
Oh, this is good. It's got kind of a stylized art kind of.
Yeah, you're talking about season one.
Yeah,
it's really great. It's got really beautiful art. So I'd say definitely check that one out if you are interested in it. Or don't.
Don't, yeah. You've done a perfectly amazing summary of it, so just maybe listen to that over and over again.
Now, there's one also I wanted to download, but I couldn't find it. So I think I'm going to have to rip it for free. Like, I tried to get off Comixology. It's not there.
Uh-huh.
Because it's only been printed, like, sporadically since. You can get a hard copy of it, though.
Uh-huh.
It's called Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom, Triumph and Torment.
Huh,
and
okay.
Basically, I can read you the synopsis if you want.
Oh,
so I haven't read this yet. This is what we're going
to
read, or what I'm going to read. Every Midsummer's Eve, Doctor Doom does battle with the powers of hell for his mother's soul. And each year, the struggle ends in a stalemate.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
When Doom wins a boon from Strange, a favor that cannot be denied, he enlists the Sorcerer Supreme's aid in a fight with Mephisto to win back his mother's everlasting soul once and for all. So it's just Doom and Strange, just like blasting magic in hell.
Teaming up.
Yeah.
That sounds
great. Doesn't
that
sound amazing?
That sounds
but
amazing.
I haven't read it. Yeah. So I'm probably just going to download a free copy of it from like BitTorrent or whatever, or maybe I'll get a hard copy, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it sounds like a crazy buddy comedy.
Yeah, and it's from the 80s.
In a hell. A hell buddy comedy. Why haven't there been more of those?
Who said this week that we're like a depressing buddy comedy?
Somebody on Twitter. One of our old mates on Twitter, probably.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Letters this week, though, Mason.
I'm ready.
We have some letters. This is from Edward Holtz.
Uh-huh.
He says, as an American, Mason.
Yes,
I'm
thank
shocked.
You. I am an American.
I'm shocked.
Oh, wait, he is. Okay.
Yes, he is. I'm shocked and sickened by Mason's alleged inability to watch 40 hours of Game of Thrones in a week. You can ask American to do that and he'll be all like, forget about it. I'll knock that out in a weekend and still have 8 hours left for a nap. This is what makes America great. We know the real meaning of the word marathon. What do you think of that, Mason?
Well, if I knew anything about like actual marathons, that'd make a sweet reference to some sort of American losing a marathon.
Keep your electrolytes up.
That's right. Yeah.
Gel packs for energy.
He's probably right though. I don't have time. I understand. I got stuff to do.
You're a working man.
Yeah.
Working 9 to 5.
Race car driver.
Yeah, that's right. He also says
one drag race after another.
He also says Do you think they're going to go full costume for Doctor Strange or X-Men leather style? We talked about this
briefly. I reckon it's full costume.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be Thor's. Like, if they can do Loki.
Yeah.
And that totally works.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I think they can do full costume.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, Mason, remember last week we threw out open to everybody. We said, look, if you want to be the official whatever, you can be.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of responses.
Fantastic.
To that.
All right.
So I'm going to read these
throw
out.
Them out.
That's
yep.
right. I'm going to read these out for this week, but we probably won't do it again because we'll just be naming people. But all these people, and if you email in and say, I'm the official this, you are that.
Great.
You don't need to ask.
Unless it's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like official gun smuggler or whatever. No, we're not on board with that.
No.
Unless you can get us some sweet guns.
Yeah, that's fine then. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Grenos Evolution says, he's the official Deadpool.
Officiated.
Brian Clark says, Rocket Racer.
Officiated. Justin Rocket Racer. Oh, boy. Skateboard.
That's anyway. What he said. Yeah. Because he does some skateboarding. Justin Hayden. Who he got through. He's a cop now. He's official cop. Remember he's got the baby?
Is he the official cop or is he official something else?
He's official cop, but he's also official police officer / future blown up and put back together RoboCop.
Officiated.
Seth Zielinski. As a full-grown man who is yet to surpass 5'7" in height and around 130 lbs in weight, that I am the official pre-serum Steve Rogers.
Officiated.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I like that guy. Andy, white Luke Cage.
Oh, officiated.
Alexander Dimmick, Captain Britain.
Oh, official Captain Britain, officiated.
That's
certainly.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jack C, the official beard of the official Nick Mason of the official podcast of comicbookmovie.com.
I'm confused, but officiated.
Elliot Burford. Since the listeners are essentially going, forming a weird, slightly less physical fit version of the Avengers, I'm going to go ahead and take Hawkeye.
Oh, officiated, sure.
And last one.
Just sitting on the couch, just firing arrows. Like, he's a real good shot. He just opens his windows.
Noah Olberding. He says, official junior editor of the Weekly Planet podcast, Balls in Your Court, James. That son of a bitch.
Officiated, ha 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 ha.
Could I be the official Noah Oldbirding of the podcast?
Absolutely you can.
Yeah!
Nice. This is a real Freaky Friday situation.
It sure is.
You guys are going to learn a lot about each other, you know?
We sure are.
You're going to not be so hard on each other anymore because you know how tough you both got it.
You're all officiated, everyone. If you can think of something, you're that thing.
Yep.
Unless somebody else is it, but...
Then you got to fight it out.
Yeah. Mm. Whoever gets punched in the balls first.
Too
Even
correct.
If you're a woman, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is from Luke Malloy Mason.
I'm ready.
He said, would you, and I think this is directed at you because you came up with this, would you be okay with me stealing the name Jake Chisel for one of my comic book characters? I have a character who is a stuck-up...
Yes! Okay, continue.
I have a character who is a stuck-up generic superhero, and I think that Chisel is a perfect name for this glorious asshole.
I'm on board. Let's
cool.
do that.
All right.
Officiated.
Officiated. This is from Andrew Richardson. He says, he's from Dublin. He says, I'm wondering... Are you guys fans of Spawn? I've heard you mention the movie once or twice, but never the comics. I've never read a single Spawn comic in my life.
I read like the first, like 20 maybe.
Oh yeah.
I enjoyed it at the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
I played the game on Super Nintendo.
Boy, that was complicated.
Wasn't it? You go up the cliff and you were a weird blob.
And you also had like, there were heaps of special moves, but you couldn't like choose from a menu or whatever. You had to use it was like a weird fighting game button combination. You could never do any of the moves, but you had like 50 moves.
So it was like a Mortal Kombat style game, but... So
it was
like a side-scroller, but with a Mortal Kombat thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible.
Incredibly terrible. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed the movie when it came out, but I'm sure in retrospect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was not good.
So Mason, Spawn, hot or not hot?
I'd say hot.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Yeah, so I read a lot of the early ones. But, boy, that story just kept going, didn't it?
That was at a time when they said that Image Comics kind of like put too much emphasis on artists than storytelling.
Correct, yes.
So... People say that was a bad time for comics as well, but you know, some good stuff came out of it, I'm sure.
Mm.
Like that Extreme Sorcerer Supreme thing.
Oh
that
boy.
You showed me. Stephen Strange in a helmet riding a flaming motorcycle with a gun or whatever nonsense that was. Well, maybe could you recommend some Spawn to read? Those ones you read, I guess.
No, I really couldn't. No, I can't. No. See, that there's no storyline stands out.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, listeners who enjoy Spawn.
Now, Mason.
I do remember the animated series, I remember being pretty good.
I never saw that.
Okay, right.
Yeah. This.
You know what? Take a punt. Go on YouTube and see if there's any clips of anything. Watch some of that. If you like it, download it. I don't know.
Gotcha. Thanks, Andrew. This is from Isaiah Agojo.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have cracked the code. I want you to bear in mind, I'm not going to shout it. This email is in all caps.
Okay, sure. Yep.
I demand a shout out. I must be given a shout out because I deserve one. I'm about to get married. I also have a baby who is the official Weekly Planet podcast baby from now until the end of his or her babyhood. I'm also 6 months old, making me the youngest Weekly Planet podcast listener, and my birthday is tomorrow, so I must be given a shout out. That's all caps, as I mentioned. Sincerely, Isaiah.
What else has he got going on, though? That's the question.
I think he's cracked the code.
No, I think he's nailed all of it.
He's like,
look, individually, all that stuff's happened. But I mean, the chances of it all happening at once are pretty amazing, and I am on board with it. So shout out, sir.
I imagine he's like Neo standing in the corridor and he can see the Matrix. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just sees right through whatever this fucking show is. Yeah, yeah.
Good man.
Good man. Mm. All right, Mason. So this week, as I mentioned, I got a Doctor Strange video up. You could check out if you wanted to. But if you've listened to this and you haven't seen the video, you don't really need to go back. This is like an extended version of that.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, but it's got, you know, if you want to see some sweet, strange artwork, then yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks to our lovely people who make the theme songs.
The Brute and the Basilisk.
The Brute and the Basilisk. You know it. And last week, we didn't give out our emails and stuff and details. But not that it mattered because we still got stuff. But you
know, totally.
I guess it's important to that. If you want to contact us, the best place is probably weeklyplanetpod@gmail. Is where the emails go.
Yep.
Twitter and Facebook.
Correct.
The Twitter and Facebook, not so much because I only check them like once a week. But Mr. Sun,
I check them every second I'm awake, but I often don't have time to reply. I'm obsessed at this point.
Sure.
Clickety click.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Not the Weekly Planet one. I don't have access to that.
Don't you?
No.
I told you the password.
Oh, whatever.
Do you want to know it?
Yeah. Tell us on air. Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook.
Mine is at Wikipedia Brown. Last week I was also on a radio show called The Talk Report, which is kind of like an irreverent take on some funny news stories around the world. I think I've tweeted the link to the podcast of that. So if you're not sick of listening to me for an hour of this week, yeah, I know you are. Because you have to do the edit of this, so I'm not surprised.
Did listen to it last week. You were really good.
Thanks, buddy. So
and
I'm
you
on
shouted
that.
Out this week. Podcast,
I did. I'm on that with some friends of the show. So if you want to listen to that, just find it in my Twitter feed. Now that I remember what the password is for the Weekly Planet one, I might put a link in there.
Yeah, do cool. so.
Right on.
Do it. Well, I can do it on mine as well, on my Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm actually busy.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually on the phone at the moment.
I
got to take this. That's the show for this week, Mason. Are you excited for Transformers next week?
Yeah, kind of. I guess so.
What can we really
I'm kind of excited about Transformers 4, I'll be honest with you.
Sure.
Based solely on the trailer, it looks like less of a mess than the other ones. Mark Wahlberg's in it?
Yeah, he is.
Uh-huh.
Looks can be deceiving, Mason. They have gun face and dinosaurs, though.
That's true.
Where do you go from here, though, Mason?
You
go Unicron.
You go Unicron. You're right.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.